Welcome to the Inner Trends Podcast. Welcome to the future of mobility. Simply stay on track. So here we are again, InnoTrans Podcast, with our brand new episode, our fourth episode actually, and we're really happy that you tuned in, because today we got a special guest, and today we're talking a bit more about, let's say, technical stuff. But first of all, as usual, I welcome on show Kerstin Schulz. Kerstin, hi.
Hi Tim, how are you?
It's getting good actually, because we got so many good feedback on our last episode with Michael Peter, CEO of Siemens Mobility. That was really inspiring, and I promise this time we have again a really, really, I don't want to say great episode, but it's a really interesting episode from a different angle of mobility. Maybe let's turn it that way. Kerstin, we got a lot of feedback, and people are like really keen on our InnoTrans intro. And I don't want to be the mean guy here, because we usually start and you never get to answer these ice-breaking questions. So I thought for this time, Kerstin, I put you in the place. And let's see how you deal with it. And for the people, that is really, we didn't spoke about that before. We didn't speak about that before. So Kerstin, this is like out of the blue. And here's the question for you.
Uh-oh.
That rhymes, that's good. At InnoTrans, we have that big ceremony, the opening ceremony. Which guest would you like to have on stage in 2022? Is there someone... maybe not dead, just say just alive people. Who would you like to have a mind-blowing performance at the InnoTrans opening ceremony?
Oh, I have to think about that one. What actually comes in my mind, I would like to have as a guest Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, the British visionary, let's say, interpreter.
Yeah, you know, he's very visionary. I think he did a railway company. I think he's flying to the moon, and I think he's working on one of the hyperloops as well.
So he's also a business magnate, investor, and yeah, you would like to have him at the opening ceremony at InnoTrans. So maybe Mr. Sir Richard Charles Nicholas Branson, if you listen to the InnoTrans podcast, feel free. This is an invitation. And what you could also see, except for the really amazing opening ceremony, would be our today's topic here. It is our bus display. So Kerstin, what actually is the bus display?
Yeah, the bus display at InnoTrans is very unique, because when you drive with a bus directly to the center of the fairground, there's the summer garden, and the buses can stay on static display and go directly from the static display to a 500 meter long circuit called demonstration course, and they can go around and show the electric buses in action. And this is really unique, because it's directly connected to all other exhibition halls.
And what can you see except for the buses? So the bus is also a really important vehicle for the future of mobility, because it's really sustainable vehicle. So what was your favorite item on the bus display at InnoTrans 2018? Is there something in specific?
I remember I saw a visitor running to the Solaris bus.
Running.
He was very excited, and he said, "Oh, have you seen? This is the Urbino. Oh my God, I can see that Urbino live." And that was really amazing that people are so excited to see the buses live. And actually, the drive system in the Solaris bus, in the Urbino, is from Feutobo, our guest today.
Today's guest, yeah. Exactly. This is our guest today. It's Cornelius Weizmann. And Kerstin, I would say thank you for your input as usual. So we learned that Richard Branson is now officially invited to the opening ceremony. Greetings. No, maybe. And I guess now it's time that we have a talk with Voigt Turbo, actually with Cornelius Weizmann.
Okay, have fun.
We welcome now on our show Cornelius Weizmann, CEO of Voigt Turbo Mobility. Hello, Mr. Weizmann. Nice to have you on the show.
Hello, Tim Wegner. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we meet in this digital space. Hopefully, we meet then in person at InnoTrans 2022. Let us start with our InnoTrans intro. It's a bit like breaking the ice. And I've been told that you are a gifted triathlete. And that's a funny story. I only managed to run a half marathon once, and it was a really warm day in Berlin, and I cracked my ankle like 3 kilometers close to the finish line. And I kept on running because I was totally in the mood, and I thought, okay, you're almost done, Tim, run. And I heard some really good music, and then close before the finish line, I saw the finish line. It's really, really nice view in Berlin. You see the Brandenburger Gate and the Fernsehturm, and then the song switched to a Taylor Swift song, which I never put in my playlist. And I was like, how did this song? And I was like totally stressed, and I ran it over the finish line, and I had this really soft Taylor Swift song. So I wonder, if I read you're a gifted triathlete, what song especially pushes you just before the finish line?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that story that you had that bad experience while running.
Ended good, actually.
Ended good, correct. And I have to say, first of all, someone exaggerated totally, because I'm a real hobby triathlon only. But I'm trying to finish without injuries, actually. I'm the one that never listens to music, actually.
Never?
Because not while doing sports, because I love, the silence, like to just consume the environment around.
Really? And,
that's why never music, and I don't remember the music, especially when you try to reach the finish line. I'm totally, there's no breath, and listening is not so good anymore, so I don't remember, actually.
Yeah, I mean, a triathlon is a bit longer than just a half marathon, but no music. That is really impressive, because I need the beat to actually run, but totally respect for doing all this long distancing sport without any music. Wow.
Well, and let me say, add that only, as I said, I'm a hobby triathlete only, and therefore I don't do Ironmans. I only do Olympic distances, and that's shorter, right? That's like.
But there's still quite. I guess it's 10 kilometers running, 5 kilometers swimming, and then.
Yeah, it's 1.5 swimming. It's 10k run, and in between it's a 40k bike session.
That's still a lot, frankly. That's still a lot. Let us go on. Otherwise, we would have, I guess we could talk about sports for ages, but this is still the InnoTrans podcast and not the sport podcast. If you could choose one person in the world, who would you invite to have dinner in the Voigt cafeteria?
Well, that's always a difficult question to choose. But I would choose Barack Obama, actually.
Really?
A truly inspiring person and leader. My correlation is with him saying, I worked in the U.S. starting in the year 2009, mm. where he was elected president, and I think he was a very positive leader, also in comparison to the one after him, Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
So this is the guy I would like to have a dinner with, or a canteen meal.
Okay, I guess that can be a really enlightening. Just read his book. And which historical personality would you like to take actually to the Voigt booth at InnoTrans?
Well, also now as we talk about InnoTrans, so the rail business, I thought. I would pick Mr. Carl Scharfenberg, actually. To set that into context, Mr. Scharfenberg is the inventor of the Scharfenberg coupler, so the main coupling system for trains today. Mm-hmm. And basically, he invented his patent in 1904. It was granted. And I think he would love seeing an InnoTrans today, the size of the rail industry and what happened with his idea of the coupler and what's now happening also when we think about the cargo business, our cargo and coupling systems.
And that's actually our topic now. Every day, our world becomes a little more interconnected. We become even more interconnected with it. International trade actually is booming. In the past, rail freight has not been able to keep pace with the productivity advances of other modes of transport, like shipping or road transport. To maintain competition, companies such as the Deutsche Bahn are striving to automate rail operations to increase productivity by introducing automatic coupling. Automatic coupling is an essential building block for digitization and automation of rail freight in Europe and offers great potential for the entire rail freight system. And what's that actually? We want to talk now with you, Mr. Weissmann. So first question, how long did your company work on this project actually, and what are or what were the biggest challenges in implementing it?
Yeah, thanks for your question. We started actually with thinking about the freight coupling in 2016 on the InnoTrans, where we presented first time a first prototype of how we could do coupling in the freight sector. But it was based on a coupler type that is used a lot today in Eastern Europe. Starting 2017, just after that, we started the discussions that we were approached by SBB, the Swiss cargo business. They had this also that vision of how do we get the freight business more competitive going forward? And during these discussions together with the SBB, we basically defined we defined what are the major requirements, and it's all about reliability, transfer of data, and electric energy that has to be used. And therefore, in this process, we decided then for the Scharfenberg coupler, which I mentioned earlier, on why would I bring him to the InnoTrans. We started this development in 2017. In 2019, then SBB started with a real big test of an automatic freight sector. The challenges to be taken in that one is all about reliability. It's about the environment. You have to work in winter environment in Switzerland or elsewhere in Eastern Europe, with minus 20, minus 30 degrees, minus 40, but also in the heat where you have plus 30 degrees, plus 40 degrees. And making that work and making that reliable work is the key challenge. And we learned a lot during the trials with SBB. We are learning a lot in the daily, basically traffic that is happening right now at SBB on a daily basis.
So, as you just mentioned, you work with SBB Cargo since 2019. How was the retrofit affected the work structures as well as the profitability of your partner? What is the feedback or the first learnings? Maybe that's better to say.
No, that's the right question. The first learning. It's a huge process and a huge learning experience. I mean, The target overall is that once you build a train and you have single wagons that you in a marshaling a yard, you have to put together to a huge big train, and then this is time consuming, and this is where basically the train, the cargo business on rail, is not competitive compared to a truck. And cutting that into half is the target of basically SBB and also other operators. Now our cargo flex is one piece of it, the automatic coupler, and basically we defined them a first version of the coupler which enables automatic coupling, not yet automatic decoupling. That would be a different type. We are talking here, it's from type 1 to type 5. We tested on a type 2, which means automatic coupling mechanically and pneumatically. And really the test was good. Actually, the system works, was very reliable. One could see that that once you go the full mile with you know, you add the different additional features that are required, the benefits can be seen and can be proven. Also, the winter testing went very well at the, now in the last winter, even though there was also quite some hard days. But the operator took care very well about our couplers. They even went on with hand brushes and cleaned away with the snow. So overall experience was good. So far, to be honest, we cannot say, we can say it looks like that we can bring the savings and benefits like cutting down on time and reducing therefore also manpower once you put wanna put together trains. But it's still an experience, and we have to invest a lot of time to finish that development.
So you're not at the state at the moment to say that this technology is competitive to actually trucks.
Well,
or makes the freight rail freight competitive.
I think we are on a very good track as an industry to show that by automating the cargo business with the coupler, automatic coupler, and adding some additional features like on the brake systems, we have to automate certain features. We can make that system much more competitive, and we can add, increase the share. It's all about how do we increase the share of rail in the cargo business compared to the trucks on the street. And I think this we can already tell. This is possible.
How long will it take?
That's a very good question, because the big thing to make it happen is that we have to change a whole system all across Europe, basically, in a very short term, short time frame, as you have to change basically all the wagons towards the new system, the new couplers, the new the new features. Mm-hmm. And the expectation is that we have to switch that system, and that's part of the shift to rail initiative right now under European leadership. Within 6 years is the target, but starting in 2023 is then where things should start happening. So by end of 2030, everything should be shifted, and that's a major challenge for the whole industry.
So that's ambitious. We just spoke about Europe, or you just mentioned Europe. I mentioned Europe in my intro. What about the rest of the world? I mean, we are talking about making rail freight more competitive towards the road and the ships. So what is about the rest of the world? You're a global leader. What about the US or China or Asia?
Yeah, very good question. I think today this initiative basically starts with Europe, as here we have the situation that the rail cargo business is not that competitive, and we have high labor costs, and we have to improve that if we want to, you know, support the Green Deal of the European Union too. Now, once we have achieved that, when we look to the US, that was your question, this is already a rail cargo market. Because of obviously that it's a huge country, and if you want to go from the west to the east coast, it makes a lot of sense to use trains and let them run. So their share of the cargo business is by far already bigger than it is in Europe. In Asia, basically, also it's a little different because it's bigger dimensions, and obviously there, it's maybe they come at a later point. Sorry, maybe China comes to that point after Europe has switched that system.
Okay, so Europe, the mission Europe is starting soon, and we just spoke about the future, so let's maybe look a little bit deeper into the future together in the view of InnoTrans 2022. With CargoFlex, we are witnessing actually the state of a new wave of innovation that is strongly focused on increasing the efficiency of freight transport. As long-time industry expert, what do you think will be the next big game changer for sustainable mobility? In other words, what would you and I be talking about here in 10 or 20 years?
Well, I hope a lot that we in 10 years or 20 years, we talk about that we have achieved that transformation of the cargo business as we are currently envisioning. And then we are talking about a fully automated cargo system on rail that enables us to, you know, to be a competitive system, to increase the share of cargo in the freight sector from today in Germany, as an example, is 19%, and you know, up to 25 or 30%, or even higher. So and by that, the transportation sector with the rail transportation supports the Green Deal in Europe, and we make sure we do things better than we do them all together today. But it's a huge challenge, and I think it will go for 20 years, as you were saying, until this vision really comes true.
Until we do this big InnoTrans for 2040. To a special podcast edition where we say you've been on one of the first episodes of this podcast running now for 20 years. Then we talk about it again. I promise we can make a deal. Let's talk in 20 years and we see how far actually the innovation developed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Weizmann. It was really great having you here on the show. Lots of enlightening thoughts actually. And I'm really looking forward to meeting you and your colleagues at InnoTrans 2022. And actually, I mean, we're doing a podcast, so we can't show the photo actually of the CargoFlex here, but it looks quite impressive to me, for I'm not an expert. It looks smoothly, nice in a way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was great talking to you. And I'm looking forward, and if I may suggest, I would ask you that we do this podcast again in 10 years, because then we can already show if the first steps that we just discussed really happened.
Let's do this. So we meet again in 2031, but before at InnoTrans, that could be. And I guess for our audience, we will maybe have a photo of the CargoFlex in our in an article at our InnoTrans blog online.
Thank you for listening. We're really grateful. And if you have any suggestions or any feedback, please write us at podcast@innotrans.de. We're back at the 8th of June with the American InnoTrans Exhibitor Comments. Till then, have a good time, stay healthy, and we will hear you again. Simply stay on track. Bye.